This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is the Robin Ludberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. His name is on the marquee. Like, imagine if my name was on the marquee and people were selling tickets to see me. And I was getting none of that. Not voluntarily, like, because I was donating it, but I just wasn't allowed to have it. I mean, that's really the college system, is it not? God, you know, the NCAA ain't playing the games. Coaches are making a ridiculous amount of money. And I'm not even talking about, you know, paying college athletes exclusively, because that's a big conversation. And how you do that, my best solution, just spitballing, has always been like a commission-based system where a certain percentage of the revenue is spread out amongst those teams. And I'm not saying all college athletes either necessarily, the ones that are generating the money. But then you have the other aspect of it that has to be addressed, and that's the idea that they can't accept money in any way, shape, or form when we know how much of that is going on under the surface, and yet the NCAA is swooping in specific cases. Again, Bill Self was just hit with something. Sean Miller was hit with something, and it's come and gone. We're not in a different era anymore where those guys might have been fired. And Memphis is just outright defying the NCAA right now with the stay that was granted by the judge and playing James Wiseman last night. And Chase Young, it's a small loan. Like, it's these things that people don't really care about and aren't bothered about. And I just don't know what the NCAA thinks it's accomplishing by enforcing this to this degree. And they just make themselves hated and reviled even more than they were. Now, it's easy to, again, just bash the NCAA. I'm looking for the defenders of the NCAA as well at 855-212-4227. It's easy to just bash them. But that's how people feel. The question is what needs to be done and how you alleviate some of this. The Fair Pay to Play Act is a start. Discussion on how to pay college athletes across the board is a start. And then I think when you're talking about this other seedy underbelly, as I put it, the best solution I have is to allow it and regulate it, analogous to what's going on with weed and sports gambling in this country in a lot of places right now. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, there's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Let's go to Josh in Atlanta. Josh, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Josh?
Hey, Robin. Good morning.
Morning.
Great topic, great conversation. And, you know, I listened for the last 20 minutes or so, just kind of getting in the car. You know, the last two callers, I don't disagree with them, and I certainly I don't disagree with you. I think that the problem and the crux of this, when you step back and kind of look at it, just from purely, let's just call it an economic perspective, right? And I'll compare it to the NFL, and I'll compare it to the playoff systems in both leagues. So let's look at that just for a second, and I'll try to be quick. What you have in the NFL is really more of a pure free market, wide open. Competition is regulated by basically a formula of wins and losses, right? Mm-hmm. You win this many games, you get in, you go that far, right? Now, we can always use the salary cap, manage that, whatever. But in college football, what you have in terms of who gets in is it's an opinion, right? So you got a committee who's formed. Now step back and look at college football versus the NFL in the same way. You know, college football is really caught in between trying to, well, it needs to be looked at as a business because it is a business.
Absolutely, yeah.
And when you're trying to regulate, right, a business, now you start. And I'm not going to call college football socialism. That would be absurd. But kind of see where I'm going with this, right? I mean, they're stuck in between a rock and a hard place because these players in a true market situation, in a free market situation, should be paid for their likeness. They should be able to make money because of all the money that they're bringing in to the situation, right? So you know, I don't think that it's tough to negotiate a gray area in that type of situation when you're talking about billions and billions of dollars, right, being made in a business. So, you know, I don't know that there's an easy way out of it, but I absolutely love the topic, man, and I'll keep listening.
Yeah, you know, and Josh, one more thing before you hang up. You know what I always find interesting? Again, it's how many listeners or fans of sports seem to resent the athletes and the compensation, but then you get these others who are always talking about something like, well, you can't just be giving these college kids money, right? It's gonna spoil them at that point in their life, or, you know, you can't just have that. But they don't seem to have a problem with the filthy rich kids who are already super rich being rich.
there's certainly truth to that, and I thought that the two callers ago made a really good point in terms of, you know, you start putting a bunch of money in these kids' pockets, right? I mean, he said the same thing. When I was in college, I know right where that money was going. You know, it was going to probably the beer keg for the party, right?
Yeah.
And so there is.
But so, do we police where everybody's money's going? You know, is that the way the world works? It's not the way the world works, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's the crux. I mean, how do you draw the line? How do you regulate it? And you know, listen, if my kid, which my daughter's only 12 years old, so we'll see if she ends up being a soccer athlete in college. But, you know, let's say that she is, and she's on a video game, and then she's running. You know, I would think that, you know, hey, my daughter probably deserves to get some money off that. But where do you draw the line? Like, it's just such a difficult argument to be made sort of on either side. And you've either got to be one or the other. So it's great points all around, man, and I really enjoy this conversation and a great show today.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Look, I'm always trying to, like, you know, have the intelligent discussion and actually deal with the issue, because a lot of times you don't get people dealing with the issue. Right, like I thought that happened with NBA in China. You just had a bunch of people go, blah, blah, and no one was actually talking about it. And I did that here. In this case too, it's like blah, 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 NCAA or blah, 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 they shouldn't be paid. You know, like we'll just talk about it, because of course it's not easy. If it was easy, it'd be done. It'd be done. It's not easy. That's okay. You know, it's okay. But I think the thing that is clear is that the current system is not right. It's not fair. It's not sustainable. And people in power, again, have a hard time relinquishing it, especially when it's been that way for a certain time. You always see the way they act threatened as soon as anyone is going after that power. And that's what you see happening with the NCAA right now. Nolan in Richmond, Virginia. Nolan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Nolan?
Hi, Robin. Roll Tide, baby.
There you go. Yeah, the big game today, huh? Is there a game today?
Yeah.
I think I heard something about that.
Yeah. So, I love the show, and I love this conversation. I do think that it needs to be handled very thoughtfully, and you do that. You try to bring out all the aspects of it. But I do have to point out that you and two callers ago got an important point wrong.
Okay.
You both mentioned that the schools are making money off the autographs and selling jerseys with the players' names on them, and they can't do that right now. Under the current NCAA rules, that is...
Sure. I think he was speaking more in... I understand. I know what you're talking about. I thought he was speaking more in, like, the big picture hypothetical sense as to why the Fair Pay to Play Act was instituted. But you are correct. I mean, because of Ed O'Bannon, really, I think would be the person... Who is most responsible for that? That was halted at a certain point.
Yeah, and the last caller was talking about, and you brought up the idea of that argument about you can't let these guys have money; they're going to go crazy with it. I agree with you. There's already rich kids out there that are you know going crazy with their money in college, but a lot of the kids that are playing sports on a scholarship have a life experience of not having money and often have difficulty handling it. I think if you're going to start paying them, you need to make sure the universities offer some guidance to them in handling money wisely. And you could also opt to allow them to earn but not get the money while they're in college.
Hey, those are good responses. You know what I don't like is when people say you shouldn't pay them because of that reason. That's BS in my mind. But if you want to say here is you know, some responsible things we can do because of that reason, I'm all for it.
And I think that the way that you approach this and try to look at it from all angles is what we've got to do. We've got to make sure that we think it through thoroughly. And I think there's way too many people out there that are rushing to get it done right this second. And anytime you do something this important that fast, you screw it up.
Oh, no doubt. You know, this is not something that's going to happen overnight. And again, I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the people who are approaching this in a very thoughtful manner. And that's, you know, like we're not going to fix it. This show is not fixing it, as much as I'd like to give myself credit. We're not fixing it today. But I think we are hopefully informing and enlightening people, and maybe even challenging ourselves a little bit. Because something that frustrates me about modern society is how simplistic people's viewpoints are. They pick their side. It's either I'm on this side or that side, team this or team that. You act like everything in life is binary. And nuance is important. Gray areas are important to explore and talk about. And life doesn't work the way a lot of people want it to work. Like, it's like I think the media does this. And again, I think social media does this. And I think we've seen that happen and permeate through society, where things are viewed through like the prism of a win or a loss. Like, you see it after a debate, right? A televised debate. Who won the debate? Who lost the debate? Well, what about what they said? You know, this is what it looks like. Well, what about what it is? You know, there's a lot of that needs to go on and be explored. And, you know, when it comes to a game, It's fine. You know, ultimately, it's harmless. And we talk about championships. It's you win it all or nothing. And I don't think that's right either. But in the grand scheme of things, it's harmless if that's what we're arguing about. But when we're talking about things that actually impact people's lives and are important day to day, then it is much more of a responsibility to not just simply dig our heels into one side or the other. I mean, I'm fully aware this is a complex issue, and just simply saying NCAA bad, paying kids good is easy and would get a cheer, but it's incomplete. 855-212-4227, the Robin Lundberg Show, right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
I don't want to be a player no more, especially if not going to pay me. You know, you play to win the game, and because it's your occupation. 855-212-4227 at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. We've been talking about the NCAA and everything that goes along with that. Very loaded to just say we've been talking about the NCAA. There's a lot that goes on beneath that. And I'll get back to you now. Derek in Michigan. Derek, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Derek?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. I just wanted to point out that most of the times when I hear discussions on this, the focus tends to be either on the NCAA, on the athlete, or on the institution. But really, there's been a shift in how all of those all of the people and institutions involved have now interlaced with our college athletics. And what I mean by that is, originally, for college, athletics were used as a way to be able to boost the profile of that particular college and university. Once that started happening, then the focus became on, okay, we found that athletics can be a great machine to be able to recruit and increase our profile, get our name out there. We have to now make our program successful. And then with the success of increased vision and what athletics brings to the general public, now the focus has become increased in vision on the athlete. And then that also has changed how the NCAA interrelates and manages and governs all that. So before they used to pay athletes, they were trying to figure out, okay, who can play? Can we bring someone in off the street? Or, you know, how do we figure that out? Once they got that done, now how do sports go on TV? A lot of money's being made from it. Now what do we do with that money? And it's really difficult because along with that, there's been a shift in how we view athletes. And then also how inherently view young people. I would venture to say now there's probably more millionaires under the age of 25 now than there were 50 years ago. And you have the age of the kids, and then also just in general how athletes are viewed, because essentially athletes are still viewed as entertainers. So, you know, that's where the rub comes in with a lot of people that are like, well, the athletes, you know, don't deserve this and all that, because they still see it as a game and maybe aren't always privy to all the inner workings and the money and the effort and everything that goes along with being involved in college sports. So they may not see that value. But when it comes down to it, the NCAA's job has changed, and so has the university's job, and also the opportunities for athletes in college athletics. All of those things have changed with, you know, with TV money coming in, with the exposure of college sports, and also the access that the kids now have to information about, you know, how to help themselves, you know, grow into productive lives as an adult, whether it's in the workforce, working for some major company in technology. You know, it's in athletics now. And I think that all of the institutions are still really new and in the process of developing what this is going to look like in the next 15 or 20 years, which is actually going to be a good thing because since the money has been involved in it, athletes should be a part of it.
It sounds like you've thought a lot about this, Derek. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure which point you made to piggyback off of, but I think that, let me just say this. What you said sort of encompasses the thought process we've had on this show so far, which is that there is a lot of layers to explore here and a lot of reasons we're at this point. I can't say one thing that you said is incorrect or correct. That sounded to me like you were talking through a lot of the thoughts that you've had. Brett in Iowa. Brett, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Oh, not much. I think about the NCAA, and that is a multifaceted organization. I was a Division III athlete in Iowa, and I paid for my college while competing. So
okay.
I have no problem with the top-notch Division I athletes getting paid, but everything they get paid goes back to their tuition. And what they get over that, that's theirs. They earned it.
But the tuition is already in the scholarship.
Yes. So, yeah, they're already getting paid.
Well, not really. I think...
Oh, yeah. Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. No. Have you gone to a Division III college?
No, I've not gone. I went to a Division I college. But
$32,000 a year?
Yes. But it's not the nature of the exchange, Brett. Like, that's the problem. That is something I take umbrage with because when I went to school, yes, would that have been a huge thing? You know, luckily, I was in a position where my parents were able to fund my schooling, so I wasn't saddled with student loan debt or anything like that. But that is a big, big deal. I get that. And it would have been a huge deal. But that was the nature of the exchange. I went to college for that reason. These kids are not going to college for that reason. It is a nice add-on. I'm not saying it's something that should be frowned
what do you mean
on.
They're not going to college for that reason.
They're not going to college for school. That's not the nature of the exchange. Duke is not bringing a kid into the basketball program to go to school. Alabama is not bringing a kid into the football program to go to school. That's just not the nature of the exchange on either from either party.
Okay, I agree. I understand why they're going there, but then they shouldn't get a free school.
Why not?
What do you mean, why not? They're going to make millions of dollars later.
How many are making millions of dollars later? Not many. Not many of the people that are going are going pro, even at the top schools. How many people are rostered by Duke every year? How many people are rostered by Alabama every year, and how many make the pros? A small percentage at even the top schools.
I totally agree with that. However, if they're going to make money while they're in school, that should go towards their tuition.
So no, and why? So then they're not making money. You're just punishing them.
What do you mean punishing them?
They already are getting the scholarship. So now you're saying that the money. So now you're taking away the scholarship.
All right. So what are you going to do with the NCAA Division III athlete, where they're making money off of their name?
Anybody who's making money off their name should be compensated, but the Division III athletes are not generating the revenue that these other ones are making. That's the point. The whole point is because they're big. This wouldn't be a discussion if nobody cared about college sports at the highest level, and they weren't selling TV deals, or they weren't selling out stadiums, or they weren't funding March Madness pools, or you know, college football playoff rankings weren't dominating discussion on ESPN, or what have you. I mean, no disrespect to Division III athletes, but I mean, nobody cares. I mean, you care, your family cares, people at that school care, people do care, but in the grand scheme of things, it's not the same. I mean, you have to deal with the situation as is. You have to deal with the reality.
You're listening to the Robin Lundberg Show.
So obnoxious. Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. You're welcome. Kevin in Chicago, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Kevin?
Morning, Robin.
How are you?
I'm good. I just want to say, if you ain't first, you're last, right? In college sports today.
There you go.
There's a lot of points real quick. I think the NCAA is trying to do the best they can at creating some parity amongst the schools. It's a difficult job because you know there's money involved in recruiting process especially. But if they start allowing likenesses or T-shirt sales or autograph sales to happen, then you know the colleges with the big donors, donor bases.
I'm going to hit pause right there. I'm going to let you continue. But so what is what I would say. Like, is parity more important than doing the right thing? And then two, on that point, you know, is it going to be that much different than it already is right now with Alabama and Clemson and Duke and North Carolina,
et cetera? I think it would be different if the school has a green light to be able to offer the top-notch recruits coming out of high school $500,000, $1 million in guaranteed.
But the school wouldn't be doing that. By image and likeness, it's not about the school being able to compensate them on their image and likeness. It's about so Zion last year, if so-and-so company wants to offer him money to advertise or whatnot, that would be something along those lines. But it wouldn't be the school itself. Now, the school, the profile of the school would elevate your profile. So, I mean, the same reason he'd go to Duke now would be the reason he'd go to Duke then.
Right. So it's all the same. But I think there are ways around it. I think there's better ways to do it. I think, you know, like something like the Heisman Trophy show, that's just a money grab for the NCAA and the schools, the NCAA. That money should be given, you know, a lot of the advertising money for that should be given to those students who are at the finals of, you know, the peak of their college profession, if you will. They should get money from that. They should get money from the finals, you know, the playoffs as well. Just like NFL gives bonuses, you know, for winning the Super Bowl or whatever it might be, then, you know, they should be getting some money directly to the students for their participation in those championship games or playoff games. I mean, there's no reason they couldn't do something like that as well. I just think you let the cat out of the bag even more so if you start. The one way to do it would be like, because you don't hear this problem of athletes getting busted for selling autographs in college hockey or college baseball. It may happen, but you don't hear about it because there's no money involved in it. There's big money. Get rid of college football and go to a minor league football, minor league basketball, get it out of the college ranks. You know, I mean, that's obviously one way of doing it.
Yes, I mean, that's but people like people like March Madness, people like college football playoff, so I don't think that would be a popular idea. It certainly is a possibility. Football is what needs it more. Basketball, already alternatives are emerging. I think if the G League can up its compensation level, you would see that as a minor league system. Obviously, you've seen, you know, players go internationally now. It's not just a fad. R.J. Hampton and LaMelo Ball right now. I mean, LaMelo Ball might be the number one pick in the draft, and he's not playing in college right now. He's going to be one of the top picks in the draft. And I know, like, with him, the LeVar stuff comes up. Just pretend his name was LaMelo Claxton or something. He's a good example of the way that can be done. Because there's no, you know, when it comes to the professional level, it's not like the scouts aren't there. It's not like you're hurting your stock there. In fact, I think in many ways you help yourself playing internationally in basketball. You get professional experience and you play against grown men. I mean, the kids that come over internationally prepared look more NBA ready to me often. Now, Luka Doncic, look how quick he adapted, because he was playing. I mean, he's a freak. He was starring as a teenager against grown men in high competition leagues, but he was NBA ready from day one because of it. Tim in Columbia, South Carolina. Tim, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Tim?
Hey, good morning, Robin. I'm going to take exception with what most of the callers seem to be arguing, which is that, well, obviously, if an 18 to 22-year-old gets paid for their likeness, that there has to be some cap on it because you can't have them making millions of dollars or whatever. I'm perfectly fine with that, and there's really two reasons why. One of them is everyone seems to imply that they're going to be horribly irresponsible with their money, like people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s. Are not horribly responsible or irresponsible with their money. Mm. I mean, it's I'm sure you got plenty of friends that you could share stories right now about. You're like, no, they wasted on the stupidest things.
Me, you know, I could tell, like not for me. Yeah. I can't. I wouldn't say it. It's not like I went out and bought like a car or something. But right. There's plenty of financial decisions I could have done better for a long period of time, to be honest with you.
Yeah. My father-in-law, he will spend tens of thousands of dollars a year on duck hunting, and then he will actually make the statement, if some kid spends $1,500 on rims for their car, well, they're just wasting their money. And I'm just like, well, I mean, you know, you're not exactly getting a good return on your investment when you're, you know, in the duck blind either there. I mean, even a lot of the callers are probably spending blood on their football tickets, but if we actually, like, grab their financials and how many high-interest credit cards they have, you know, and, I mean, like,
it's like, who are we to tell people what to do with their money, first of all? And second of all, I always bring this up, what about the filthy rich kid who's at school? No one has that problem with them. The one who's come from the well-to-do off family and is already super rich when they get to college and pulls up in a Maserati or something. You know, like, why do people not have a problem with him?
Right, and not just that. You'll have the story of the kid who wrote the app and made like $500,000 off it while a sophomore at MIT or something.
Yeah.
And those same people, they're like, well, good for him. That's awesome. But if he does it catching a ball on a field of grass, heaven forbid, well, he's in college and he can't be doing that and blah, blah, blah. My goodness, you know, and it's absurd. And I'll say this real quick, too. My second exception is I wanted to say that I was a military college. And, you know, so this one kind of like hits me at the heart. Where we have 18-year-olds who are clearing caves right now in Afghanistan. Like, we as a country determine that an 18-year-old is responsible to hold an M16 and go do battle. And also, I recently sat on a jury pool and it was a murder trial. I did not get selected, thank God. But there was a college student who was selected to sit on that murder trial.
Mm-hmm.
And that if we as a society determine at 18 that you're ready to do that, then that's where we come back to. And at 18, if you can make $1 million catching a football, I am perfectly fine with that. If you decide you want a beer, I'm perfectly fine with that. But we got to get some consistency. And I think all these people who talk about the layers and all these things we want to hash out, it's all out of this place of, well, you can't have an 18-year-old making $2 million or $500,000 or $100,000. And I don't care. And as soon as you don't care, guess what? Then it's a non-issue.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you for the most part on almost all of that. I don't see why, when it comes to athletics, that seems to be the thing people are hating on the most, or checking people's pockets on the most. Ryan in Lafayette, Louisiana. Ryan, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on?
Hey, what's up, Robin? Man, I just want to say, man, you're my favorite person to listen to on any morning. I can't wait for Saturday.
Hey, thank you, Ryan. I appreciate that, man. Thank you.
Oh, no problem, man. I was telling the guys, you know, I don't want to be the one to have to drop the bombshell, but I think all this is going on over racism. You know, unfortunately, the way this country was founded and built and all that is, you know, so much influence. Like, how much influence do you think that the parents of the guys that's in charge of making these decisions, you know, they come from those times of where the segregation and all that, so the influence is heavy in the household. We learn from our parents, you know. So I feel like it's, why should we let all these young black kids loose in America with this money when they coming from these impoverished communities and they known to be knuckleheads at times? I would also like to say, like, I'm married to a white woman. I'm a black man. I'm married to a white woman. And so, like, is racism never been a part of my life? Like, I never had no issues with any race or nothing. I'm just a friendly, outgoing person. I always had open mind.
I understand what you're saying, Ryan. And stay online for a second. I understand what you're saying. And look, racism has affected everybody's life in some way, shape, or form, some being the victim of it, some being a witness to it, some, you know, look where we live right now, right? I mean, I'm not someone who's afraid to use that word, which has always driven me crazy when people are it's seemingly more afraid to call something racist than they are to be upset about the actual racism. Now, I don't know if I would use the word racism specifically to what you're talking about. I think it's a factor, a component of it. Racial stereotypes, unconscious bias, that sort of thing, because I do believe there is some of that, to the same degree where we're just talking about, all right, you're fine with Richie Rich pulling up to school in his Bentley and having all his money, but as soon as Daryl on the basketball team is getting it, you got a problem. And I think there is some degree of that there, and I think that's where the overall nuance and the gray areas come into play. So I think it may not be out and out racism at times, but I do think, yes, is that a component to this overall discussion? Yes, I think it is.
Yeah, like they make billions off of this, like, and the little money that they would have to shell out, why do y'all have such a problem with it? You know, if it's not going to affect y'all bottom line that much, you know, and it's like,
people get addicted to profit margins too, you know, Ryan. Yeah. That's another factor. People get addicted to money and profit margins. Like, you see it all the time, where businesses say, "I want to cut costs. I want to cut costs. I want to cut costs," even when they're making a profit, or "I want to negotiate the best possible deal." Even, and I understand, a business is a business. It exists to make money. No one's saying that shouldn't be the case. But I brought this up earlier. Again, there was a couple instances this week of, like, billionaires, like, not just like 1 billion, but like billions upon billions, who the idea of a wealth tax, just all of a sudden they recoiled. And to me, that's wild. Like, because I know it's easy to say not having it, but someone was talking to me about this the other day. I was in a conversation with some finance dudes, and they were talking about, like, the show Shark Tank or something, and the offer that was made to the company, and how they turned down the offer on Shark Tank of, I forget what, let's just say it was $50 million flat, because the valuation of their company was worth more than that. And that's fine. I understand why they did that. But, you know, to me, there's no difference between $50 million and $10 billion. Like, what's the difference? What could I do with $10 billion that I couldn't do with $50 million? And that is something I will never understand, because I don't view money that way. I don't view money. I don't like it. You know, I don't romanticize it. I want it. I want it because it makes life more convenient, because it gives you more security in life. I'm not saying I don't want more of it, but I don't worship it or value it beyond what it is. And there are a lot of people who do. And they just they get addicted to how much of it they can get and how much of it they can keep, and the game of making more of it. And that's not something I've ever understood, but it's something that certainly plays into discussions like this. Tim in Knoxville, Tennessee. Tim, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
Hey, buddy. How you doing, man?
Good.
Go Dawgs, for first off.
Okay.
And second off, man, I think the college player, any college person that's playing sports should get paid of some sort, man. It can help with their school, their eating, clothes. I mean, it can go towards anything. And what if their parents don't have the money to take care of them while they're in college? Then they're having to work a job or something, dude, and that's on top of practicing 5 or 6 days a week. I think it's a great idea.
Well, I mean, like, look, I think it's about revenue, right? I mean, if it's generating revenue, then they should get a cut of the revenue. And there's nothing stopping other kids from working and getting money. It's just the student-athletes who can't do it, which that's insane. Moses in Dallas. Moses, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Moses?
Hey, Robert. I have maybe a solution.
Okay.
So anyway, why don't we just treat college football like the NFL and have a college draft and pay the players according to what round they go on?
So you're just saying, but you're paying every college, you know?
Pay every player.
I understand what you're saying. I don't know if it makes quite as much sense, you know, in a vacuum, because there are so many schools and there are so many players. Like, where's the draft? How many rounds of the draft are there? How many teams are involved in the draft? Like, I understand what you're trying to say, but I don't think there's an execution that is that simplistic and straightforward. I just don't think. I think the easier compensation model is clearly just a commission, a revenue, you know. Let's make it easy. So an agent takes 5 to 10% of your income, right? Trust me, I know. And if you're the college athletes, and I'll start with football and basketball because I don't want to go beyond that. It depends on what the revenue. I'm talking about the revenue-generating sports. Why is then not the 5 to 10% taken off of the money that's generated by the football team and the basketball team and spread amongst the football and the basketball team? And then you do it evenly at that point while allowing people to also profit off their name and likeness so that the best players can be compensated more. To me, that's the easiest solution I can come up with like that. I'm sure there are still problems with that, but that to me is the takeaway there. And then you also regulate the seediness that's going on underneath when it comes to guys getting hit off on the side by shoe companies or agents or what have you. 855-212-4227. Still got to get to load management. Still got to get to LSU and Alabama. But if you want to weigh in on this, I won't stop you. It's the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.